You've tuned into Two Blind Squirrels today. So sit right back and see what Brad and Chaz will say. This show's
Where's
a lot
Chaz?
Better than a lot of things today. And here's just to name a few. It's better than Indian help desk. It's better than disco. It's better than hard to reach toilet bolts. It's better than ear cheese. Two blind squirrels in the morning. Two blind squirrels at night. You can listen anytime at all. Radio on demand, it's alright.
Of Chaz tonight will be Faith.
Seriously, Chaz has been gone for like 5 years.
It's a good oldie. It's an oldie but goodie.
Okay.
Two blind squirrels in the morning.
Yeah.
Two blind squirrels at night.
Oh, yeah.
You can listen anytime at all. Radio on demand. It's all right.
Right, yeah, picking and a grinning. It's me and Miss McFadden. Listen, I got a card from my brother.
Yeah?
Like, it's a birthday card.
Mm-hmm.
It says, fresh roasted peanuts. Got a squirrel sticking out the top.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take a picture of it for the website.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it cool?
Mm-hmm.
The squirrel comes out of the nuts. Watch.
I see.
And then it starts over.
Yeah.
That's greatness.
Oh, my.
Don't touch my birthday nut. I really appreciate my brother sometimes. Sometimes not so much, but sometimes I do.
Oh, man.
Yes, yes, yes.
Your mom and dad's card was pretty good, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
What was it again? The elephant? That was the elephant?
It was
the monkey.
It was from both of us. The good-looking one and the smart one.
Yeah,
and your mom wrote, they're both me. And then your dad put, it's okay, your mom's she's a little delusional. It was cute.
Funny.
Is that John?
Funny. No, that's Dachshund. He's in the chat room.
As in the dog?
No, not a Dachshund. A Doc Zen, like Doc Zen.
Yeah,
like,
we've already done this.
Oh, okay.
It's all right.
Then I won't do it again.
Okay. Didn't intend for you to.
Oh, man.
A Zen Doc.
Thanks for joining us, Dotson.
He was a Zen Doc. Or is a Zen Doc. Why would you do a Doc Zen if you're actually...
Oh, it's Wilkerson. Hold on.
He's ringing a doorbell.
Hello. Oh, bad. Okay, good. Say, try speaking again.
You have to stop talking.
I do? Okay. Okay, yeah, I can hear you just fine. I can actually see you, too.
Okay, are we doing video or no?
No.
Okay, video off.
Okay.
You don't want to see my bald head and the mess behind me anyway. So.
I do like seeing you, but I get a better quality audio with that video.
Yeah, give me just a minute, okay? I was tucking kids in, so.
Oh, no problem.
Hold on just a minute.
Okay. So as John tucks...
It takes a while.
Yeah, he's got like 50.
Yeah.
So as John tucks in the brood, we will continue with what I was saying.
What
was I saying?
You weren't saying anything.
I was
talking about how Zen the doc is.
Oh, that's fine. No, staycation, baby.
You weren't saying anything about staycation.
That's the next thing on my list.
Oh. Well, did we talk about the first thing on your list?
The birthday card.
Oh.
My birthday. Helen was gone for my birthday.
Tell him what you got for your birthday.
I got new memory for my MacBook.
Mm-hmm. 4 meg.
It rocks.
And what else?
It's twice as big. And a gift card for a Mountain Lion when it comes out next
month.
There you
go. What is that?
That's my Tic Tacs.
Oh, that's John's Tic Tacs. A tick for a tack. Are you back from tucking in?
I am back. I was at the... Whoops. Kind of can't drop the microphone.
Wilkerson is having trouble getting his act together tonight.
Oh, man, let me tell you. I was going to record downstairs, and then the wife's leaving, and so the kids are in bed, so I can't be downstairs because I can't hear the kids. And so
Okay.
See, you got an 11-year-old in the house.
That's true. One.
She was in the shower. I think that's where she was last time I
checked. Now she's in the living room watching the Disney Channel.
And I've got five under 11 in the house. So.
okay, so if there, so for everybody listening, if there's any disagreement in this show from this point on, you have a reference for who is the wisest. Okay. Just kidding. Just kidding. That was my wife taking a drink.
Sorry. All right, you were. was the Tic Tacs.
That's true.
But you didn't get after him.
I did too.
No, I did. I said, "What's that noise?" But I didn't get upset at him for shaking his Tic Tac.
I wasn't upset at you either. I was just making a comment. It was loud.
Jeez.
Okay. Sorry. Hello, John.
Hello.
You missed my birthday card. You want to hear it? Here we go. Hold on. It was a squirrel. It was a squirrel.
Okay.
In a bag. Guess who gave him that? Wasn't me.
It was my brother.
Yeah.
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 So, yeah. So
runs in the family.
So, yeah, I got a... let me turn my phone off. I got a 2 meg or 4 meg of memory for my MacBook, which is awesome.
For me.
Runs like
you mean 4 gigs of memory.
4 gig.
Yes. It was,
you only had 4 meg.
You said 4 meg. That's because that's what I just said a minute ago.
4 meg.
That's funny. 4 gig. Giggy.
Yeah. 4 gig of memory runs. It really improved the running of my MacBook.
Yeah.
It'll save me from having to buy a new one for that new MacBook Pro, though, is pretty sweet, though, isn't it, John?
It is very nice. Very sweet. Very nice.
But this will postpone this for
I talked to the lady about it when I was buying the memory.
Yes. $2,100, $2,300, whatever it is.
I tried to make a payment plan, but she wouldn't let me.
Well, I mean, the MacBook Air, when it first came out, was around the same price. And now it's, what, $999? You can get one for $999.
Wow.
But okay. How long has that been, John?
That it's been $999?
No. That
over a year.
Oh, okay. Okay. So it didn't take too long.
No, no, because, I mean, once they came out with the next model,
yeah,
you know, whenever you pay a premium when it comes out for the first time. And,
Well, anyway, we have something to look forward to. But anyway, I'm really enjoying my new memory. It makes, it's just greatness. And so then I also got the gift card for the new Mountain Lion. And my dad sent me one of those chainsaws.
I said it didn't work.
He sent me a chainsaw that has
it's like a giant scissor
grip on it. It goes around the tree, and the chainsaw moves inside the grip, and it looks very.
I think you should use that.
Yes.
On the instead of the John's chainsaw and your sawzall, I think you should use this thing and cut the hole for the door into the guest room from the pool.
Because that's what it's made for.
I know, it's perfect. Because the sawzall and chainsaw were made for that, too.
Yeah, go right through that brick. Yeah.
Really?
Well, they have masonry bits for the sawzall.
Yeah, I'm sure they do for this thing. It's like the jaw. It looks like the jaws of life.
So, anyway, went out to eat for my birthday at Landon in Greenville. It's a nice little place there. And my friends took me out. Faith took me out. Mm-hmm. And enjoyed that. Didn't have to drive. So, that was cool. Mm-hmm. Turned 44.
44.
44.
That makes you 5 years older than me.
5 years of wisdom right there.
That's, well, I don't know about that.
Okay, well, John, you requested to come on my show because obviously I upset you so much that a phone message wouldn't do it.
No, you did not upset me.
I said, why is John coming on the show? He said, well, apparently he must have a lot to say that he can't leave out a message.
I do have a lot to say that I can't leave on a message, but I'm not upset with you.
Okay, good.
It's very, very hard to be upset with you, Brad. You're such a, you know, lovable and cuddly guy. So
thank you. I'll cuddle with you anytime, John.
We did once.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
It was cold that day. Uh-oh. Did we lose John?
No, you did not.
Oh, okay.
Hit the mute button.
Oh, okay. Had to belch.
Yeah.
After a Tic Tac?
Yeah. It happens. He drank some Diet Coke and a Tic Tac at the same time.
Yeah. Whew.
Oh, my. Okay.
And I'm also rearranging my mic, and I don't want to let you hear the... You know, you don't want to hear this.
Oh, but you're right. I appreciate that. All right. Well, did you have a topic you wished to discuss, John?
Absolutely.
Okay. What is it?
I absolutely had a topic that I want to discuss.
Well, mm-hmm. Guests first, so go ahead.
Okay. So the first topic I wanted to discuss was whether or not the U.S. was founded as a Christian nation.
Okay.
Because I know this is a hot point with you.
Yes.
Oh, hold on. I got to mute my phone. It's dinging all over the place. I got so many gadgets around here. It's ridiculous.
You're as bad as Brad.
I turn off my tweet, too.
Okay, there we go.
Whether or not the United States was founded as a Christian nation.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why.
It's interesting.
One of the reasons that...
Sorry.
No, listen.
I'm listening.
Can you point out to me in the Bible where Jesus ever said to rebel against the government?
No, well, only where there was no, well, the establishment, not so much the government.
He said to respect.
He said pay your taxes.
Honor right. Those who are over you.
Right.
But not if they're against
left England,
the gospel.
For religion.
No.
Yes, that was the main...
It was for taxation without representation.
No. The reason we left England was for free... Most people came to America for freedom of religion.
Okay.
If you read the Magna Carta, it tells you that.
Okay, yes, that's true. But the reason we wanted to form...
The reason we rebelled against England...
Right.
And formed our own nation was taxation. Well, one of the main reasons was taxation without representation.
Exactly.
That was one of the reasons listed. Freedom of religion was also listed in the same document.
Okay.
Which nobody gets to read anymore.
Yes. No. We only get to read the freedom for taxation part. And the IRS frowns on that.
but we were free to worship as we please.
Yes. 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 No, there is nowhere. I agree with you. Now, and it's splitting hairs a little bit. And I don't want to get too far off your topic here, because I agree that there's nowhere you're going to see that it says we were a Christian nation, or this is we're founding a Christian nation, or anything like that. The title of Christian nation wasn't given to us until later.
Right. Right. In fact, okay. What you'll find when you look through the historical documents is that there was great debate over whether or not to even include the phrase "endowed by our Creator" in the Declaration of Independence. There was great debate over that because there were a number of representatives who did not want that in our documents.
I don't think they were objecting to the Creator part, though. They were objecting to the fact that rights were endowed by the Creator because they were afraid that that was going to apply to the slaves. They were objecting to the fact that rights were endowed by a creator versus rights were endowed by man. The human rights were endowed by man because they were afraid of the slavery issue. But okay. it was also the many pastors, if you research that argument, if you read John Adams' biography, it's very interesting. The debate over the whole slavery issue, which was the main...
argument. Huge. That was huge.
It was mostly, you know, Northern pastors who had no, you know, and to be fair, they had no monetary. They weren't going to go broke if slavery went away, but they were Northern pastors who were fighting for, to end slavery or what's it called, abolition, but it was mostly Southern businessmen who were pro slavery or wanting to protect property rights. Well, that's the way they would have put it, right?
Yeah. See, I think we step into a difficult place when we say that the U.S. is a Christian nation, I'm sure you'll agree that right now we are not a Christian nation. We are not led by Christians, and the laws that we passed, many of the laws that we pass, I don't think honor Christ. So in that sense, we are not a Christian nation. We are a nation of Christians and Muslims and Buddhists, and the predominant religion in the country is Christian, but we don't have an official religion.
But I think, I think you're right. I completely agree with you, John. I just think that it's semantics, and I think
it's not because we
it is because
rebelled,
I think what is always
we rebelled against the government that was over us when Paul clearly wrote that we should be fine with the way things were.
But the title of Christian nation was given to us by the rest of the world, and it was because we were a majority. The majority religion here was Christian. That was the reason that title was given to us. Now, my point is not whether or not so much so that we are a Christian nation now. My point is that we were founded on Christian principles. And that's where I think me and you disagree.
No. I think some of the principles that we were founded upon were Christian. But I think the actual act of rebellion was totally unchristian, was completely unchristian, simply because... Paul was writing to the Corinthians and to many other people groups at that time who were dealing with a lot worse things than the colonists were dealing with at that time. And he told them, look, hang in there. Just deal with it. As long as they don't pass any laws that tell you you can't preach the gospel, then you need to be fine with the government that's over you. And the Christians that were in this country chose to ignore the word of God, the very same word of God that you were using to say that, you know, we have a Christian foundation. They chose to ignore that when they founded this nation, and they went to war. In the name of Christ, they went to war.
But you're associating that war. The Jews went to war many times.
Okay, but we're not the Jews.
No, we're not. But the Romans went to war many times, and there was Christianity during that time too.
But that doesn't make it right.
Well, I'm not saying
that doesn't make it.
I'm not saying what's right or what's wrong. I'm saying you're defining our nation by that war, by our war of independence, not by the Constitution and the principles that it was founded upon. You're saying our entire nation was founded upon an act of violence.
No, I'm not.
Well, I mean, that's what you're saying, that we're not a Christian nation because we fought a war to be free. Is that not what you're saying?
No, that's not completely what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that out of that ungodly, unchristlike, unbiblical stance that we took, the beginnings of this nation started.
Okay, but I'm not going to concede that point, though.
Why not?
Because I don't think war is inherently anti-Christian.
Oh, you don't?
No.
When did Christ ever tell us to go to war?
He told us to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters who cannot defend themselves. If I defend myself, I'm supposed to turn the other cheek. But it is completely in my right as a Christian to defend someone weaker than me from a bully. So okay. Personally, I can go to war for another person, right?
All right. See. Now
I can defend my family.
War theory, which was
I can defend my family. I can defend my family. Can I not? Where in the Bible does it tell me I cannot defend my family against another person?
Where does it say you can? Show me where Jesus said you can.
Well, just because it just doesn't say I can doesn't mean it's forbidden.
Okay. He said to lay down your life, right?
Right.
So that. What he was talking about there was a sacrifice. So the way you defend your family from an intruder is to sacrifice yourself so that your family can get away.
If that's an option, okay, I'll do that.
You know, see,
but
see,
the that's the not always is the is that, you can't always
America,
just say kill me and let my family
our
go
with our religion.
But let's stick on the point. You can't always defend your family by just saying kill me and let my family go. You know, a criminal who breaks into your house and is after your daughter or your wife is not going to go, okay, I'll kill you and let them go. You have to take them out.
Okay. But what's a larger act of faith for you to believe that God will protect your family?
If God's
without you having to commit a violent act?
To
commit a violent act.
I depend upon the Lord every day to protect my family.
Okay. So
but if somebody breaks into my house, I'm going to blow them away.
So that is not depending on the Lord at that point. You're walking in your own strength.
I'm completely dependent on the Lord. I'm completely dependent upon the Lord, even in that moment, for the strength, first of all, for the money to buy the gun, for the strength, for the knowledge to know how to use that gun to defend my family, for the bravery it would take to actually do that, for I'll even say a prayer for the guys. I'm blowing him away. Say, Lord, you know, forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Except that you're not sacrificing your life for him.
Well, I'm sacrificing my life for my family. I'll have to live with that for the rest of my life. I'm not saying killing the person is going to be, you know, it's not, and I may have to go to jail for it. But the best way to protect my family in that instance is to not throw myself at the bad guy who's got a gun. He's going to kill me and then go after my family.
Okay.
And I don't think you would either.
I don't know. I've never been in the situation. I don't know what I would do.
Okay. Well, I think if you walk into a room and somebody's hurting your daughter, you're going to do whatever you can to make that stop. And you're not going to be stopping to say a prayer, Lord, please make him stop. You're going to depend on the Lord's strength and the Lord's quickness that he's given you to protect your family.
I think you may be right. But see,
And we'll have to ask for forgiveness after that.
Just because the example that we have from Jesus.
Yes.
You know, when we look at what Jesus did, because we're supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to be Christ-like.
And didn't Jesus resort to violence to protect the innocent in the temple?
He did not injure anyone. He knocked over tables.
It says he took a whip after him, too. I don't know. I mean, maybe he didn't hurt anybody. I don't know.
We see examples repeatedly of Jesus being nonviolent, that the violence was 99.9% of the time done to him.
Yes.
Okay. And so I think that should be our default as Christians. If we're to emulate Christ.
Yes.
That our default should be, I am going to resolve this situation without violence.
Yes, I think that should be our default. You're exactly right.
Okay. So the first thing you should do when someone breaks in your door, it should not be to reach for a gun.
I will reach for the gun and then try to persuade him to leave.
Okay, but when the centurions came to get Jesus and Peter cut off Malchus's ear,
yes,
Jesus told him to put away his sword.
Yes, if Jesus is there telling me to put the gun away, I'll take care of this. All right, I'll do it.
All right. So when Jesus told the disciples not to take a sword with them.
Right, they shouldn't.
Okay, right. Okay. And when you look at the Great Commission, there's nothing about bringing a weapon with you.
I don't think I should take a gun. I don't take a gun on mission trips.
Okay, but don't you live your life for Christ?
I do.
Are you only a representative of the gospel
and
on a mission trip?
And I don't pack a gun when I evangelize or when I share the gospel with my neighbors or my friends or no, I don't. I don't presume violence. But okay. If what I'm saying is that there is nothing in the Bible that says you should in fact the Bible encourages us to lay down our lives for those who are for our friends and to protect the innocent. In fact, the Bible has a threat against anybody who harms one of these innocents. You know, it'd be better for them to be thrown into the ocean with a millstone around their neck, I think is that quote.
Right, right. But who is the threat from?
God.
Okay, not from you, not from me.
Correct.
So.
But I'm supposed to be godlike.
Okay, so it's okay for you to go around and wipe out entire people groups?
No.
That's being godlike.
Yeah. He's got his reasons. I don't have that authority. Okay. I only have the authority over my family.
And I don't think you have the authority to take another man's life either.
if I walk up and see a guy beating up on a little girl, I'm gonna step in. I think, I mean, you have to. That's your Christian obligation. You're not being a Christian by allowing him to continue. That is not what the Lord would want. All right. Nor does
but
he
there's
teach.
A difference between restraining someone, right, and putting yourself in place of danger.
Yes.
Than there is in taking another man's life.
I completely agree.
Right?
I completely agree. So if that person does not have a gun and you do, you don't have the right to shoot him until you tell him, stop, hey, I got a gun here and I'm going to shoot you in the leg if you don't quit. And then if he doesn't quit, you shoot him in the leg. I don't have the right to take his life because I can stop him without taking his life. But if he's got a gun and he's threatening, you know, somebody else who doesn't have a gun, and I step in and say, hey, go away, I got a gun too. And then he doesn't, then I can shoot him. I mean, it's just common sense.
Well, the problem with common sense is that most of the time it's not godly, unfortunately.
Let's back up.
How many Christians do you think stood by while other Christians were martyred?
A lot.
And so they didn't do anything about it. They didn't go in and rush in and stop and try and overthrow the Roman government.
Okay. I don't know that some of them didn't try, but okay, I'll give you that.
I mean, all the examples that we see in the Bible, even Paul himself, Paul was stoned nearly to death.
Mm-hmm.
And never one time did he act violently towards the people who were trying to kill him. Not one time.
Okay.
So.
But that goes back to, but all those examples lead back to defending yourself in the face of evil. Do not resist evil. Turn the other cheek. Go the second mile.
Okay. But so.
It also says lay your life down for your friend. There's no greater love than a man who will lay his life down for his friend. In other words, in World War II, now I know we didn't really get involved in World War II to save the Jews. Okay, that wasn't really our purpose.
Yeah.
But there were some people who went because of that, because they were following that situation. And just in the Civil War, there was a lot more going on than just slavery. But there was also a justifiable right to say, hey, well, these people are being abused and we need to do something about it.
But see, you're interpreting laying down your life as killing another man.
Yes, I am exactly saying that. Just as Martin Luther King said, to allow evil is the same as doing evil. That we will have to answer. What was his famous quote? That the children of light will have to answer for their silence.
Okay, but you can be silent without you can be vocal without killing another man.
But be vocal is to be violent. I can be very violent vocally. But otherwise, people abuse their children all the time just by yelling at them.
Okay, but see none of the scriptures that you've quoted have said take another man's life to defend the weak.
Well, there's lots of those in the Old Testament. I don't.
Okay, we're not talking about the Old Testament.
Well, the law.
We're talking about the revelation that Jesus Christ gave when he came to earth.
I'm saying that the love, yes, and the commandments that all the commandments are built on two principles: love and love. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself, right?
Right.
And Jesus says,
and love your
love,
enemy.
And love as I, and Jesus said, love as I have loved. Yes, right. And even love your enemy, but that doesn't matter. That doesn't mean
love your enemy.
Yes,
as
love
yourself.
Love your enemy, but that doesn't mean do not kill your enemy. It means love your enemy.
But this book of Psalms says that we should let God take vengeance upon our enemies.
I do not believe in vengeance.
Okay, but isn't that what you're doing?
No, I am allowing evil to continue. Okay. Is wrong.
Okay, so
taking
you need
up
to kill
arms against
man.
Taking up arms against evil to protect the innocent is not taking vengeance. Taking arms up to revenge the innocent is vengeance. if somebody kills my daughter and I go kill them, that's a sin. If I kill somebody to protect my daughter, it's not. I mean, that's basic ethics.
I don't see that in the scripture.
Have you read Bonhoeffer?
I'm not talking about what Bonhoeffer said.
He went through this entire process, though. And as I'm saying, he went through this entire process where he was a pacifist, and that's what he believed. But then he saw the evil that was going on. And he says it is morally wrong to allow this to continue. It is against, you know, he maps. I mean, that goes into a lot of, it's, I can't repeat all of what he said, but it would be a good book to read because it's an entire study on this ethic. It was called The Cost of Discipleship. And at some point, we have to lay down our lives for our friends, for other people.
Right. But see, you're translating lay down my life as kill another person, not allow yourself to be killed instead.
I'm saying it can be included in that.
Yeah, see, and I don't.
When you go to war, there is a more, especially in the past, there has been a greater than 0%, greater than 50% chance you're not coming back. When you go to war, you're laying down your life for your country or for whatever reason you're going to war for. Because it's a pretty good chance you're not coming back. That's what that passage means, historically, in the context of history. That's what that passage means.
Okay,
it doesn't mean you're going out.
See, you're putting you're putting it in the context of history.
I'm putting it in the context of when it was written.
Context of Christ.
I put it in the context of when it was written, which is what you have to do. When it was written, when God delivered that message,
when it was written, Jesus was telling his followers to go to war.
No, he was saying you have to lay down your life, and that includes, you know, whatever that means, it includes this idea of saying, yeah, I will sacrifice myself for my friend.
Okay. See, I think we have injected that into the scripture. I think we as Americans have injected that into that passage. That the idea that means we should go to war for.
Well, regardless of what we have injected, the principle is that to allow, if you stand by and allow evil to happen, you are culpable for that.
Okay, so praying for an evil to go away is just standing by?
Is that all you can do? If that's all you can do, it's all you can do. If you can do more, you're obligated to do so. It's just like praying for someone to be fed. If I pray for somebody to be fed, but I have a plate of food, is that all I could do? No, I need to pray for them to be fed, but I also need to take them some food.
Okay, but see, now you're taking assisting a person.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Equaling that to killing another person.
Yes,
and that's
Jesus did not say don't have enemies. Jesus did not say do not go to war. Jesus never forbade us from fighting. In fact, the principle that all these are established upon is do not murder. It is not do not kill. Murder in the word there in the Hebrew, it is more of a revenge or a selfish, there has to be selfish motivation in that murder. It's murder. It's not do not kill. Because they're, otherwise, the Bible would contradict itself when it said, you know, stone this guy to death if he does this. Well, I can't do that because you already told me I couldn't kill. No, it says do not murder. Therefore, we can still have a capital punishment in the Bible. And Jesus, okay. And Jesus is not going to come along and contradict the Ten Commandments. He's fulfilling the Ten Commandments. So something is all of a sudden not going to be wrong that used to be okay. But let's go back to the original point because I think that we have a lot more in common than we're.
I think
we're,
so.
We're getting bogged down on this one central issue. But if you go back to the Christian nation point, I think we have a lot more. I think we're... I say that the nation was established on Christian principles, and those are in the Constitution. You're saying that the fact that we fought a war to become, to write the Constitution negates the Christian principles, or you say they're not there at all?
I am saying that because I'm saying two wrongs don't make a right, and that okay. if we were truly a Christian nation, that our Constitution would look completely different.
I agree. I completely agree.
Okay. And I will not, there's no way to deny the fact that there were Christians involved in the founding of this nation. Okay. You either have to be blind or totally deny all of history in order to say that.
True. Okay.
Did Christians help found this nation? Absolutely. Yes. Were we founded as a Christian nation? No, we were not. We were not founded as a Christian nation. Were Christian principles used in the founding of the nation? Yes.
Okay.
They were.
Okay. Well, I think we agree. The problem with this whole, not argument, but the idea of a Christian nation in its founding, I think is because we are so fallen.
Well, absolutely.
And there was so much, when you go and you read this stuff, there were so many people with such pure motives and so wanted a Christian nation, so wanted to try to form this thing that no man is ever going to be able to create, right? Until Jesus comes back, we're not going to have the perfect government. But there were so many people that were trying to reach
We won't have
this.
A government when Jesus comes back.
Well, okay.
The government will be on his shoulders.
There you go. Okay. I'm not exactly. But there were people who were striving for this this ideal of a Christian nation, let's say, for lack of a better term. But there was also just as many people trying to protect their property and trying to make sure their business, that they could make $1 million. I mean, right. there were just as many people, just like today in America. I think that there are a lot of people, maybe you might even say a majority of people in America, who want the best for their kids, and that's their main, and want the best for their family, and strive for a Christian ideal in their personal lives. Maybe a majority's stretching it, but there's just as many people, maybe more, that are more concerned with making a buck.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, and honestly, I think that won out when this nation was finally formed.
Yes.
When they finally set up the government, that's what won out.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's evidenced in history, because there would have been no civil war. If we would have settled this when the nation was founded, there would have been no civil war.
Right.
Or at least it would have been a very different civil war. It might have actually been over states' rights.
Yeah, maybe. They should just let y'all in the South secede and be done with it.
Well, you know, Jefferson Davis actually wanted to. He proposed, anyway, I don't know how earnest he was, but he proposed freeing the slaves at the beginning of the war when we first seceded, because he said that would prevent the North, because the North was all riled up over Uncle Tom's Cabin, and I mean, they were really, that was the main drive. He says, hey, if we'll just free the slaves, then I don't think they'll have anybody joining up to fight us. I don't think there will be a war. And of course that was shot down because nobody wanted to lose, because they were afraid
to lose all that money,
a mass exodus to the North.
Yeah. Right. Right.
He says, well, no, we'll free them, but they still have to have a job. They still have to eat. They're still going to come to work in the morning. Yeah, they probably won't. No.
Yeah, and the sad thing is had we stayed colonies of England, slavery would have been abolished sooner.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Which would have probably caused us to rebel then, too.
Yeah. So, yeah. So it sounds like we mostly agree. Actually, I think we primarily agree on the founding of the nation. I just I don't like it when people aren't careful with their words.
But
and when people say we're a Christian nation or we were founded as a Christian nation, that's incorrect.
Okay, because what I've said is that we were founded on Christian principles, and I think that for the most part we were. I think that they got muddled and fallen, and things got messed up, and that's the Civil War. But I think that the framers of the Constitution, the people who signed the Constitution, were mostly pastors. I mean, the majority were pastors, and that there was an attempt there. But I think that it got, like you said, I think it lost the day, and the result of that was the Civil War, whatever, 100 years later. But when I say that this is a Christian, that we are still a Christian nation, I mean that in the fact that the majority religion here is Christian. And I think that's what, I think that that term, I shouldn't use it anymore, because I think that term brings up so much angst, even among Christians, because we look around, we don't see a Christian nation.
Right.
But the rest of the world considers us this Christian nation. I mean, as evidenced by 9/11. I mean, this was attack on the great Satan,
and, right?
Which is a direct reference from the Quran, the Christians. So, my mouth gets me into trouble. That's fine.
and we'll disagree on the idea of just war.
We will disagree on that, but you know what, John? Because you didn't get to listen to my first show I did tonight, and that is, you still present the same gospel I present.
Right.
Regardless of our difference on whether or not there's such thing as a just war or just violence, that we still present the same gospel, and I love and respect you. And
absolutely.
And we can continue, and we can discuss this further, and think about it, and come back again, and I'll think about it too. And I might be wrong.
Maybe there'll be a lack of faith on my part. I have transitioned from your point of view. Because I used to believe in just war. Now I'm still not sold. I'm still working out the whole thing of how do we defend our family without taking the life of another. I'm still working that out. I'll be honest with you there.
And just because you believe,
and I study martial arts, I can kill someone with my bare hands. There you go. So it's like, isn't that a contradiction?
And just because you believe, just because let's say you are completely against just war, and you're against violence, and you're against all this stuff, and then you walk in and see somebody messing with your daughter, and you snap and kill them, you're a fallen person. It doesn't mean you still don't believe in, you know, you may believe that you did the wrong thing.
Right.
I mean, just because you react in a certain way, doesn't mean that your idea is wrong. It still may have been the proper response to pray for them to their face, or cast out the demon that was in them, you know, or throw holy water or whatever. But I'm just saying, just because we react in a certain way, we're fallen creatures, and we can still talk about, so I don't want to throw that image of protecting our daughters doesn't necessarily make my point, because we have a guttural reaction to that. You know what I mean?
Right. There's a visceral reaction that all of us have as fathers.
Exactly. And it doesn't,
and as mothers,
and it doesn't, even though it makes a good, argument, it doesn't actually, it makes a good, dramatic point. It doesn't actually mean anything in the grand scheme of the argument of whether or not that is the proper response.
Right. I mean, I'll tell you right now that if what you were saying happened and someone walked in the door, there would be violence happening. Because, like I said, I'm still working this out. Okay, how do I do this?
Right.
How do I mean, I have heard stories of women being attacked and being mugged, and they just, you know, said in the name of Jesus, stop, and the dude stops.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
I mean, now that's the kind of faith I want.
Me too.
I don't want to have to resort to violence. and so that's my prayer. That's my prayer that I would be able to do that.
Well, which is stronger? I mean, which is stronger, blowing the guy's head off or being able to introduce him to the Lord, so to speak, even in a...
Right, even if he drops dead because God strikes him down.
the lion's mouth won't open, you know?
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
And I think we agree that although we would more than likely, we would respond violently in our what's in our being is to respond violently when we see violence being done to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the best response. That the best response would be one of faith and being able to speak out, you know, the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And say, look, you're going to stop.
Yes. I think where we disagree is, do we allow evil to continue or do we actually take action more than just praying? I mean, I think that's where we ultimately depart.
The difficulty I have with do we just allow evil to continue is that there's so much evil going on in the world, you have to run around locked and loaded, constantly shooting people's brains out. But I think that's where the argument falls apart.
But then I think you've gone to that vengeance stage where you're saying, I'm going to get evil back. I'm going to go out looking for trouble, in other words. And that's not, I think the Lord is sovereign and he presents us in situations and each may be different. There may be one situation may be, hey, dude, that's wrong and you know it's wrong. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to stop. And there may be situations where you need to go throw your body at that person and let the other person get away. Because, I mean, only the Lord knows that guy's heart and what's going to work. And so, I don't know.
Yeah.
I've talked myself into a corner. I don't know.
Yeah. See, I think part of the problem is that the whole idea of just war,
mm-hmm,
can give us a reason as a nation to pretty much attack any other nation on the planet. I mean, we could go in Africa and wipe out Africa right now if we wanted to, based on the principles of just war. Because of all the child trafficking that's going on there, all the warlords that are going on over there. If you use the principles of just war, we should be at war on every single continent on this planet except Antarctica.
And I think we've done that. I think that's the problem, is that we've said, hey, let's go to Grenada and stop this horrible thing that's going on down there. Meanwhile, we're going to get some business done. But hey, let's tell the American people all the bad stuff that's going on so we can go down there and stop this thing. And then we get there and we go, okay, we're going to set up a democratic nation down here. And then we leave and they all go back to the way they were.
Because they don't want it.
They don't want it. And same thing with Iraq. Oh, the horrible things, the rape rooms, the you know, it's horrible there. We got to go in there and stop that stuff. Meanwhile, we're going to get some oil business done. But don't pay attention to that. Just pay attention to the evil that's going on. We're going to go stop because we're a good Christian nation. And that doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Right. Right. So now you're coming over to my side now.
Well, I've always been on that side. I still support, and then there's the thing. Well, I still support the troops, though. Hey, good job.
Well, they're doing a job.
They're doing the job,
doing their job.
They've been called to violence, and whether it's right or wrong, they have their right thing for them to do is to go and obey their government and go to war. And I don't think that those people are individually. Now, here we get into some really gray area. Okay. This is always fun.
Are they individually culpable? Yeah.
You know, the whole conscience of the king thing, right?
Right.
It goes back to William Shakespeare. And were the Nazis culpable for what they did? They were just obeying orders. They all got hung. Or not all of them, but
right. The
people that used that defense in the Nuremberg trials, they got hung.
My grandfather didn't get hung.
That's good.
But he wasn't a high ranking. He was in the German army. He wasn't.
Yeah.
He had a swastika on his hat, but that's about it.
But you're in the German army and you're a guard. I mean, you're just there's no difference between you and the guy on the front line. But the guy on the front line, all of a sudden, he doesn't have war crimes and you do because you were a guard at a prison.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And it's like, so that's the moral question.
Right. Right. Well, see, fortunately, our military allows for conscientious objection. So if you're in a situation where you feel your commanding officer is telling you to do something,
right,
that is immoral or unjust,
yes,
you can object to it. Now, you might get killed.
You might get court-martialed and shot.
If you're on the battlefield.
But you do have that choice.
You know, you'll end up with a .45 slug in your head. But you have that option.
Right.
And it will be duly noted in the official record that you objected under conscientious reasons.
And I've never heard, I would love to have somebody, I wish somebody would write a book, and maybe they already have it, I just don't know about it. I would love to hear a good story of that. You know, like one that didn't involve, because all the stories you hear about conscientious objectors have always, before they ever go to war.
Right.
You know, I want to see one that was in a battle and said, no, this is, I conscientiously reject to that command because I'm not killing all them babies, you know, or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we're not as far apart as we think
and
we are.
And I knew we weren't. It's just getting past the baggage, and that's the problem with a lot of Christians. And you come into, I was talking on the last show, you missed it all, you have to go back and listen, I guess, but I was talking about the Reformed Church and the seeker-driven church, and they're both accusing each other of the exact same thing. It's because they bring so much baggage with them. They use words that incite, that they miss each other. They're both presenting the same gospel.
Yeah, and we speak in sound bites. You know, we're used to getting our news in sound bites, and we speak that way.
Right.
And so we say, well, I meant this. Well, then why didn't you say that?
Right.
So let's... That's what you meant. That's what you should have said.
Let's unpack Christian Nation and find out what we really mean, or let's unpack whatever it is. And we're still going to disagree, but we can have these discussions with love and respect. And
absolutely.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. The problem is we don't have a coffee shop that you and I can.
Sure we do. It's called Two Blind Squirrels Coffee.
Yeah.
Hey, and if you're listening to this and you want to come on and talk to me about something like this, hey, treat me with love and respect, and you're welcome here, and you can tell me why it wasn't 6 days, okay, that the Lord created the world. We'll have that discussion, whatever you want to talk about. Why God is outside of time, Lord, please.
Okay, so before we go, can I rant about something?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, so here's the deal. A couple weeks back, I bought a ceiling fan from a garage sale.
Okay.
Right? Which, that was mistake number one. Because there was a part missing.
Oh no.
You know the part that you need to mount it to the junction box in your ceiling?
The important part.
So here's the deal. If anyone out there is high up in Lowe's and Home Depot, why don't you carry these parts? You would make a killing. Okay.
Yeah, it's like they have all these nuts and bolts and stuff, but when you just need that one little piece out of the ceiling fan, you got to order it from the company.
And it's a circle. It's a circle with some holes in it. I mean, come on.
Did you have to buy a piece of metal and forge your own?
Actually, I called the manufacturer, and they sent me one for free.
Yay, you.
So even though most of the sites online say that this particular company makes terrible fans, their customer service is pretty awesome. So... Don't buy a Harbor Breeze fan because you expect it to last very long, but do buy a Harbor Breeze fan if you want good customer service when it breaks.
You Well, you can't have everything, right?
No, you can't have everything.
Helen was in Maine, up there by you, little north of you.
Maine is nowhere near me.
From my perspective, it is.
Well, that's true. Oh, so, by the way, congratulations on Helen's baptism.
Thank you very much.
That is awesome. I saw the video today.
Thank you.
That was very cool.
She was up there with her grandparents, and they went on a seaplane. My mom took her on a seaplane and flew around.
Oh, wow.
And then she got to go on a riverboat and drive the riverboat. Okay, like in the next day. And then the next day they went to a baseball game, and then the next day they went kayaking on a river. And the next day they went out for a big cookout. And the next day they went hiking up a mountain and saw moose. So she's there for like 8 days. We pick her up at the airport Saturday. And I said, what do you want for supper? She goes, magic time machine. I said, honey, you're home. Okay. You can have Chick-fil-A on the way home, or you can wait till you get home and have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. How's that?
Yeah, yeah. See, when they when the grandparents move away,
yeah,
it's like party time every day when the grandkids come to visit.
Right, right. Right.
But when they're around, it's not.
No. Too funny.
Yeah. Yeah. So you put her on a plane?
She actually flew with my brother's mother-in-law. Does that make sense? My brother's wife's mother.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because my brother lives up there too, and yeah. But his wife's family still lives here. So she got to fly with her. So I didn't have to do the whole unaccompanied minor thing.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah. Made me feel much better.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that I would send my 11-year-old on an airplane by herself.
No.
Especially given some of the TSA tactics out there. You know, that's just asking for trouble.
Right. Right. I don't even want to think about that, John.
Yeah, I know. These are the things that keep me up at night.
Well, how are your other podcasts going?
I just got
the one, just the homeschool, the Wired Homeschool right now, right? No?
Yeah, just got the Wired Homeschool going on right now. Good. It's going good. Went to a homeschooling convention a couple weeks ago and interviewed some of the speakers and some of the vendors. So that's going great.
Cool.
And my wife is giving me the 5-minute sign here.
Oh, okay.
Right. So, because my daughter has to study for a CAT test. So,
okay. Never ends, does it?
It won't end education. For another 17 years.
school closed on, school was out, whatever, whenever that was, May 28th or whatever. Faith's been up there every day.
Man.
Just getting things ready for next year, getting tests, placement tests on and everything. Well, John, thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Absolutely.
Would you do the honors?
Vios con Dios.
Two Blind Squirrels is a proud member of My Life Ministries, a community of believers.
John,
that
you can stop talking now.
Christian life as
That's
a
okay. You don't have to do this part.
It seeks to
tonight.
Encourage Christians in their daily walk with
right.
Christ.
Thank
for
you.
For more information, please visit mylifeministries.org.
I appreciate you, John.
I've got to re-record that.
Well, it's perfect.
Well, because it's low quality.
Oh.
I record it higher quality for you.
Thank you. All right, John, enjoy your family. Thanks for talking with me.
Absolutely. We should do it again.
Absolutely.
All right. Bye.
Bye.